This is Midday Magazine for Friday, June 26th. I'm Angela Denning. 9 people died Thursday afternoon when the de Havilland Otter floatplane they were traveling in went down near Ella Lake in Misty Fjords National Monument near Ketchikan. The Promec Air floatplane was reported overdue at about 2 p.m. While rescue crews were getting organized, a Temsco helicopter located the plane on the side of a cliff. Alaska State Troopers spokeswoman Megan Peters says the plane was about 800 feet above the lake against a rock face. She says rescue efforts were challenging.
It's a very difficult location. Terrain is exceedingly steep. Essentially, it's a granite rock face, so there are definitely some challenges. Due to fears of triggering some kind of rock slide, we were attempting to have helicopters lower people down to see inside the wreckage to see what the situation was.
Peters says rescue crews were able to reach the crash site at about 6 p.m. and confirmed that everyone on board had been killed. As of Thursday night, crews were pulled from the scene. Weather conditions made recovery efforts unsafe.
So we're just going to be assessing the situation tomorrow, seeing what resources are available, and doing our best to body recoveries to let these people go home.
Peters praised the efforts of the Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad.
It really does come down to our local trained volunteers that make these things ultimately a success, and we will be relying on them to help us with the body recovery efforts. And their experience and their willingness even to help us is just above and beyond.
The identities of the pilot and 8 passengers will not be released until next of kin have all been notified. The passengers were all from the Holland America Cruise Lines ship Westerdam, which stopped in Ketchikan during a 7-day tour of the Inside Passage. A statement from the cruise line expresses condolences to the families and friends of those killed. Peter says troopers will be investigating the crash in partnership with the National Transportation Safety Board. Promec is a Ketchikan-based company that offers flight seeing tours and charters. An employee who answered the phone at Promec says the company is not commenting at this time. Haines residents are being told to boil their drinking water after E. coli was found in the municipal water system. Local officials issued the notice Wednesday after a routine test turned up the bacteria. Haines Borough Manager David Sosa says officials think the contamination might come from a spring that feeds into the water system.
It could be a septic system that's leaking into it. There are a number of other options it could be, and we want to make sure we hit the right answer on this.
He says the community's main water source is a lake south of town. If tests show it's clean, it can supply the whole community without the spring-fed system.
What we can do is cut off the water from that system, induce more chlorine into the system, purge the entire system, and then fill the system up. That would take time, but that's the safest and best action we could take for the community.
Residents are being told to boil their water for 2 minutes, which will kill off the bacteria. Some are also using bottled water. E. coli can cause diarrhea, cramps, and vomiting. Young children, older people, and those with weak immune systems can experience kidney failure. Borough Manager Sosa says informational flyers were posted around Haines and delivered door-to-door. He also informed the local clinic.
I went over to search and I spoke with the administrator there and with some of the medical staff and advised them of the situation so they could be prepared to look for potential symptoms that might be associated with this.
Officials are unsure how long it will take to drop the boil water notice, but it could easily last through the weekend. The start of the Rainforest Islands ferry is now delayed to the middle of July. The ferry service, which is set to run between Petersburg, Wrangell, Kaufman Cove, and Mitkoff Island, was meant to open on Sunday. Spokeswoman Heather Hedges says the shipyard was delayed in starting its work.
We've just been able to start sea trials. We're expecting the boat to leave Anacortes, Washington for Ketchikan on Monday, June 29th. Then U.S. Coast Guard inspection should follow upon arrival in Ketchikan.
Hedges is hopeful the ferry will be up and running by around July 12th. She says all passengers affected will be contacted.
So far, it sounds like everybody's been pretty much okay as far as being able to rearrange their schedule. For confirmed bookings, they are receiving some sort of compensation.
For updates and information, you can visit their website at rainforestislandsferry.com. Sea Alaska shareholders meet Saturday in Juneau for their annual meeting. The regional native corporation has about 22,000 shareholders with roots in southeast Alaska. Many live outside of the region. Board election results will be announced at the meeting, which starts at 9:30 a.m. in the capital city's Centennial Hall. Shareholders will also be able to attend via a webcast. Board candidates will have a chance to speak, though most shareholders have already voted. Five independent candidates are challenging the same number of incumbents. No resolutions are on this year's ballot. Past years have seen votes on term limits, shareholders' descendants' stocks, and discretionary voting. The new old-time Chautauqua is coming to town on Sunday. The Chautauqua is a traveling band of about 50 artists, circus performers, kids, and musicians journeying around Southeast this summer. Chautauquas reached their peak of popularity in the 1920s. They wanted to provide entertainment and education to people of all ages. Teddy Roosevelt even said the Chautauquas were the most American thing in America. But they died out in the following decade as people turned to movies and fast cars or more prosaic forms of entertainment. Now, though, a Chautauqua revival is stirring across the country. Joe Sykes asked Heidi Lee, the facilitator of the trip in Petersburg, how the Chautauqua ended up coming to Southeast.
Well, we had a Chautauqua come visit about in 75, I think, or 79, and I was able to see it back then, and it was so fun. We saw the parade going through town, and I took a few classes, and they taught about passing on culture. And so when they talked about it again, this was last February, and this fellow came to town and said they had chosen Southeast Alaska to come visit. And originally, in 1913, they had come here in the early days, and they came back two times. And it was a way for people to learn what was going on in the world. And in the old days, there was Chautauquas going all around the country. And now I think there's just this one in the Pacific Northwest.
Can you kind of explain what and who the new Chautauqua are?
They're a range of people from 1 through 70 that take a month out of their lives every year and travel and live in tents and share with people. So I think it's supposed to be like a democratic system for, you know, everybody learning from each other.
What's going to happen when they get here? They're arriving pretty late, right?
They're arriving Saturday night, Sunday morning, so they'll be setting their tents up like in the middle of the night, and they have their own cook shack, so they'll be able to stay at Sandy Beach, and they're going to do community service at Sandy Beach on Monday. And if anybody wants to come help, they'll be working on trails and things like that on Monday. So a lot of it is to give back to the community is what they want to do.
And what's the plan for the rest of their time here? They've got a few events planned.
Well, first off, everybody's invited to a community potluck. It's bring a dish, eat a dish is what they're saying. So that'll be 3 o'clock on Sunday. We're also asking if anybody wants to bring extra food that they have for these people, like lettuce or eggs. We have 50 pounds of fillets already. But then on Tuesday is the parade. At 12:30, we'll be meeting between the grade school parking lot and the children's center. And basically, we're making a big loop around the school system. There'll be a marching band and stilt walkers, and everybody will have a good time, I think. And then we end up behind the aquatic center, and that's when, if you want to go to the workshops, they'll be happening right there at the Parks and Rec building. There's three sessions that are 45 minutes each. The first session, we have juggling and bubbles, ukulele, learning how to make a fire, hula hoop, theater games, slackline walk. Would you like me to go on?
That sounds fantastic.
And it just gets better from there.
So when they get on that ferry and everyone waves them goodbye, what do you think the people of Petersburg will have taken from their visit?
I just think they'll be really uplifted. I think the kids will actually, if they've never been around a circus, I think they'll learn how joyful and, you know, a lot of giggles and just kind of the wonderment of life. This is about frivolity and laughing a lot, I think.
Do you think this is a more pure form of entertainment and that's something that's good for the kids?
Definitely. These are skills like juggling, sewing, magic, acrobatics, face painting, voice, soft shoe. Yeah, these are things that you can do when you're not around a computer, I think.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Heidi.
Yeah, thank you. Hope you all come.
Heidi Lee is the facilitator of the Chautauqua trip to Petersburg this weekend. She was speaking with KFSK intern Joe Sykes. The Petersburg Indian Association is sponsoring the Chautauqua's visit. You can find a schedule of events online at kfsk.org. In a cabin 26 miles from downtown Juneau, former territorial governor Ernest Greening wrote the book The State of Alaska, making a case for statehood several years before it would happen. The cabin started out as a summer getaway for the family and later became a year-round residence. Now, more than six decades later, the historic cabin is being used as an oasis for Alaska artists. Lisa Fu has more from Juneau.
Juneau artist Constance Baltuck paints on the rocky shoreline of Lynn Canal. The legs of her easel are getting wet from the incoming tide. On the canvas, details emerge from the colors.
This is the barnacles and the kelp and the mussels. They're just so beautiful the way they interact and cling to the rocks.
Baltuck is the first artist of a pilot program at the cabin run by Alaska State Parks. Park Superintendent Mike Eberhardt says the Ernest Greening State Historic Park received $30,000 to run an artist-in-residence program for 2 years. All the artists are required to hold a community workshop and contribute a piece of art to the park. Eberhardt hopes the program will generate more interest in the site.
Whatever art comes out of there, whether it be written or music or paintings, using that to publicize the state park system, and with notoriety hopefully comes additional funding, comes additional support.
Eight artists from across the state applied for the residency, and all were admitted for the startup year. Each will stay in the cabin for up to 2 weeks through September. For Baltuck, the park has been one inspiration after another.
This place is just alive. Everywhere you look, there's something flowering, jumping, creeping around in the woods, flying past the window.
And she's trying to capture as much of it as possible. Baltuck describes it as gathering starts, the beginnings of paintings she'll finish later. Inside the cabin, her works in progress line a bench or lean against walls.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11 this first week, plus I'm doing a series of little wildflower drawings. This is supercharged for me. I'm going to have to go back to town and get more canvas because I'm just about used up what I brought that I thought would last the whole 15 days.
Baltuck has done other artist residencies. She's been in the middle of the desert at Arizona's Petrified Forest National Park, in sand dunes above the Arctic Circle in Alaska's Kobuk Valley National Park, and once spent 3 months in Norway. Baltuck says each has given her windows into different lives. For this residency, when she's not on the rocks painting or at the easel inside the cabin, she's on the deck sipping coffee. She watches people fishing and...
The eagles, they're sometimes right up in these trees right over here. And the evening is when they just swoop back and forth. And, you know, I could see whales and... And it's always changing, like whether it's a beautiful sunset or just the clouds, how deep they settle on the mountains, or if there are any, or if you can see the mountains at all.
More than once, Baltuck calls the residency a gift of no distractions, no internet, no phone ringing, nobody waiting on you. It's also a gift of time.
It's so neat to settle in to an experience of observing nature for like hours. Just looking at the same scene for hours and just knowing you have that time. There's no rushing out here.
The only concern, Baltuck says, is the tide. When the water comes up by your feet, it's time to move. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Well, it is Friday, June 26th, and that means it is time for the Stocks Report with Dan Berg. He is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Angela.
So what can you tell us about this week?
Well, this week, the market really didn't go anywhere. On the one hand, we had good economic news in the U.S., but it was offset by worries about Greece. Here in the U.S., we had more evidence housing is getting better. It looks as though people that are getting jobs are feeling just good enough to buy a house. For example, existing home sales spiked 5.1% in May, and if you compare that month to last year, that's a 9.1% gain. So those are significant numbers. Also, we had a good number for personal income. People are getting paid a little bit more. That was up 0.5% in May. And spending also is up 0.9%, which is a very good number. However, manufacturing is being affected a little bit by the high dollar. It's still expanding. The PMI index for the U.S. was at 53.4. Any number over 50 shows expansion, but it's a more modest number than it's been. Over in the EU, again, we have the Greek soap opera going on, and it's just really tough to come to an agreement. But their manufacturing is doing quite well. Their PMI number was 54.1, which is strongly in expansionary territory. So if they can come to an agreement, perhaps good things can finally happen in Europe. Over in China, we have some interesting developments in the stock market. They had a very overheated stock market there. And the Shanghai Index, for example, dropped by 7.4% today. That is really roller coaster territory. And so for the last several trading sessions, it's now officially in bear market territory in China. However, it had been up over 150% over the last 52 weeks. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 17,946. That's off 68 points for the week. The NASDAQ at 5,080, that's about a 0.7% drop for the week. And the S&P 500 at 2,101, that's a very slight 0.2% drop. Oil is virtually unchanged at $59.59 for next month's delivery. And gold came back down again. That closed at $1,172 an ounce. It briefly last week went over $1,200. Now in the bond market, since we are having some better news in housing and income, the longer-term bonds markets are beginning to respond to that. The 30-year Treasury went up to 3.25%. That was a 0.2% rise for the week, not insignificant. And the 10-year now is closing in on 2.5%. It was at 2.47% today. That was up also more than 0.2%. So the bond market is really anticipating better economic growth in the second half of the year, and also a Fed funds hike by the Federal Reserve later.
All right, well, thanks for sharing that information. What about individual stocks? Do you have anything to share with us there?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court decided a great deal this week, as no doubt you've been reporting. Just to give you one example of how that's affected individual stocks, HCA, which is one of the largest hospital operators in the country, symbol HCA closed at 91.84 over the last two trading sessions. That jumped 10%. The rationale for that is that if they have fewer patients that cannot pay, fewer uninsured patients, they make more money, and clearly the stock responded. We also had an earnings report from Monsanto, symbol MON, that closed at 105.21. Boeing was also in the news again. Boeing here in Seattle has a new CEO, Mr. Muhlenberg, that closed at $142.48. Nike, Beaverton, Oregon, that closed up to $109.71. That was up 4% today on good sales. It looks as though they're managing to sell a fair amount of athletic apparel. So Nike is not just about shoes anymore. And then another Northwest stock out of Boise, Idaho, Micron Technologies. They make computer chips, symbol MU, that closed at $19.66. And finally, Alaska Airlines gave off a little bit of its recent surge that closed at $64.75.
So do you have any idea about next week, and do you expect things maybe to stay the same, or any possibility that it could change?
Well, I think we will have a few things that could really move the market. We have the Greek situation. That's really coming down to the wire, and if they don't have an agreement, then it's possible that there will be bank failures throughout Greece and the possibility of some unrest that could happen as soon as Tuesday. And so the president of Germany, Merkel, is saying, please, let's come to an agreement this weekend. So that's one thing. And the other thing to look for next week is the employment report, which will be coming out on Thursday instead of Friday.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Dan, and we will check in with you again next Friday for an update.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. And that is Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Washington. He joins us every Friday during the midday news for a stocks report.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member of SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.